Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Once again, welcome to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard, around the table, Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. Big win last night for the Calgary Flames. Big win for Andrew Hammond and the Ottawa Senators, and the Penguins and Capitals get it on again. This time, advantage Crosby over Ovechkin. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Mike Fiuta, by the way, LA Kings VP of Hockey Operations, will be joining us in a little while. And fingers crossed, John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, will be as well.
Thanks for coming in. Right now Darren Millard as day-to-day.
Is it upper or lower?
He will be reevaluated.
It's upper for sure.
it's from the neck up.
I didn't say that.
Technically,
it's upper.
If it's a cold, it's true.
Then yes, it's a cold. Fighting a cold.
Get better soon, Darren Millard, and hustle back. Chumming the trade waters in advance of Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern, when we will begin our coverage of the 2015 NHL trade deadline. The Maple Leafs make a move. Winnick finally goes. He ends up a Pittsburgh Penguin. Andre Sekera finds himself a Los Angeles King, and a pretty sweet return going the other way. Which of the trades that we saw yesterday really grabbed your attention, said, wow, that's overpayment or underpayment?
For me, it's Winnick. I thought that if the Leafs could get a third-round pick, that would be pretty good if it could get to a second. But I didn't see the second and the fourth. And I know that they pick up Zach coming back and picking up some of that. But I just didn't see the second and the fourth. That, to me, is an expensive market right now.
Yeah, Sill's a bit of a non-factor because he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
But is he someone you can bring back for half a buck?
I'll tell you what. He plays a heavy game. They like him. They don't mind him at all. So I look at the second and fourth, and I think it's a big price. I also think, I get where Jimmy's coming from. Jimmy's trying to plug some holes, and he wants to have depth going to the playoffs. So I get all that. But a second and fourth for me is an overprice. And this is Winnick's sixth team. That throws a bit of a red flag for me. You know, and I think it's too much. And Tulewski,
short
to me,
term
was fine.
Is great for
short term. And look, and Jimmy's got the assets. It's a non-factor. If you have the assets, it's a non-factor. So fine if he can help you get in or win around. If he can help you kill penalties, their special teams have been really struggling lately in Pittsburgh.
The tricky part
so,
now,
you know, we'll see where it goes. You know, Sekera, I like Sekera for a first. People tell me he's. Yesterday, I talked to a couple of scouts. They said he's lost a bit of a step, but he's still a puck mover. He's a poor man's Voyanov. First-round pick is, you know, the market was set with Franson a bit.
And we'll get into this with Mike Fiuta a little later, but this still gives them flexibility if, in fact, that Voyanov does come back, that they can fit him.
Well,
that
I like
they can have them both.
I like the fact that he was at 1-7. And, you know, at 1-7,
it's manageable.
You pay a bit of a price to get somebody at 1-7. I mean, where was Franson when he went to now Nashville? They don't have a cap issue, but
$3 million.
Franson, he's in around the $3 million range.
$3 million range.
You know, to me, you pay a bit of a premium to get a 1-7 guy to slide in there. So, do you like the first round picks? I mean, you'd love to pay a second for. I think Chicago would probably offer a second for Sekera.
Essentially, it's the first and a second. Roland McEwen, defenseman for the Kings and Frontenacs, goes as well. He was. Yeah. To do the bio, formerly the captain of that Marlboro's AAA team that Connor McDavid played on with Sam Bennett and Josh Hosang.
His stock dropped a little bit.
Stock has dropped. You're right, Kip, because you've watched Kingston. He's a man on an island on that blue line out there. The blue line for Paul McFarlane's team hasn't been great, but you're right. The stock has dropped. Projected once upon a time to be a first-round guy, but still a steady, serviceable defenseman.
Would you agree that Chicago were probably offering a second for Sekera? You know, that's the question.
But,
you know, so you
owe
you. If you want them,
if they're gonna, and they're, I'm hearing that Chicago's now targeting Vermette, and if you want Vermette, you have to go first. You have to give up a first, plus a prospect, if not two, or a player off your roster that can play now?
Talking to somebody this morning, saying Don Maloney is saying he's going to make three or four deals. Mm-hmm. You know, three or four deals as we
Vermette, Yandel.
As we get to, I don't know who they are. Vermette obviously is one of them. Mikhailik could be another one. Yep. I mean, who knows? But he's contemplating three or four deals as we move towards Monday. So they're going to be busy, Phoenix.
We can see a market established with UFAs. It does this time of year. Mm-hmm. But the tricky now part is to move bodies with term.
Yeah, that's
and
tough.
Cash. That's the hard part. And if we're talking about the Leafs,
specifically, if that cap comes down significantly,
right? But
who's taking term?
Let's go back to Vermette, and I think Nick's on the money with Vermette as a Chicago possibility. You know, Richards there, they can move him around a little bit. They need a little better second line centerman, but obviously the Kane scenario. But what about Calgary and Vermette? I know Calgary don't want to give up probably the assets to get him, but is there any way they could make that work? For instance, Vermette going in there, if Nick mentioned, if they could move a stage and a Raymond, is there any way they could get a Vermette without giving up a first, without giving up a second? You know, is there some way they could make that work? Tree Living has a history with him. He could help them get in the playoffs because they're in a dogfight. Not that it's the end all and be all to make it, but Vermette could give them and Vermette, they could potentially get Vermette re-signed.
I don't know how Chicago doesn't get Vermette.
I agree with
Come on. There is so much pressure right now. You've lost Kane all year. If you're fortunate enough, you get to the third round or the final, maybe he comes back. But 3 months?
You got to
now go into the rest of the trade deadline thinking that you have to replace him.
But somebody mentioned this morning that it may not be 3 months. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
He's a youngish player. Now, he's not Daniel Alfredson, who healed quicker than anybody that we've ever seen before. But
I don't know.
Who knows how long it's going to
take. I hope for the Blackhawks and for Patrick's sake.
Even if it's 2.5, if it's two.
Even if it's eight.
How does that change the way you go between now and the trade deadline? It doesn't. You need a guy that can come in and replace those minutes.
And can they get by with their blue line? Van Riemsdyk's back. They sent him to Rockford.
Yep.
Rundblad has been okay. Does he keep improving? Can they get by with their back end? They probably can.
But as we've seen, in the playoffs, I mean, Joel Quenneville wouldn't even put Nick Leddy on the ice. I mean, he rides his big boys. And
he just got $7 million, didn't he?
He rang the bell. Long Island.
We talk about Boston being up against the cap. How about Chicago?
They get the LTI, so they get the relief there.
But that's still July 1st.
But they've got the tagging problem.
And then you got a 10%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
on your books.
On your books.
For next year. That's the problem.
July 1st, Kane has to come back on the books.
Correct.
Right.
So who are you trading for, right, other than a rental?
It's got to be a rental. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a rental. So you know, there's four or five teams that are Jimmy may be done. I think Jimmy Rutherford could be done. I really believe that. So all of a sudden the focus
unless he wants
to
move
Chicago.
A defenseman.
Yeah, but I don't think he wants to move one of those
Dumoulin,
kids. I don't think he wants to move him. He's losing the air off. And you know, Dupre has been a nice plus for him the way he's performed. I don't think with Erhoff moving out, I don't know that he wants to move the kids.
Early trade with Edmonton, for Perron,
and they gave up a first round pick in that deal. And Clint
was significant.
And
how much do you want to alter your lineup?
And what do you do with Erhoff, Paul Martin? Where does he fit in long term? I mean, he's going to need Harrington and Dumoulin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he likes them. I know that.
Those guys move on. That defense just got young real fast because you just lost Niskanen, you lost Brooks Orpik, and now you could be looking at two more horses moving out as well. Calgary Flames, guys, last night, big win. Go down early against the New Jersey Devils, come back. Probably the best game in 3 months we've seen out of Johnny Gaudreau, even though he didn't find the back of the net of the score sheet. Kari Rama was outstanding. Sean Monahan, that song remains the same. And they're back in a playoff position.
But Giordano, where's he?
Huge. They'll be reevaluated. They're not skating today.
That's hope.
Spoke to someone there this morning who said, you know, it's all fingers crossed. Best case scenario, it's a sprain, but they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
What did it look? Did it look like a sprain? Did it look like a hyperextension?
Well, first of all, look at the windup. And now you know the force coming down on that puck. And then just to be stopped, dead in your tracks with the what is it, like a can opener? It's in a way, it's just sort of. It's wedging the stick, right? And that was Bernier, wasn't it?
You know what?
Yes, Steve Bernier.
I've had a strain doing chin-ups in the gym, you know. And that's, you know how that strain can get into that rotator cuff?
Yeah. That's because our man Doug is getting.
You mean the mo?
Let's hope he's okay because he's that important. I was kidding. He's that important.
Cup.
How critical is he? So
him and TJ Brody have been outstanding.
You know what?
For the Flames.
What's impressive in that? You talked about Johnny Gaudreau. He was unbelievable last
night. Oh, yeah.
But what was impressive, 49 seconds left, defensive zone faceoff. Monahan goes out on his forehand, wins it clean. Giordano's ready to slap it with the big slapper to get out of the zone, and he gets caught. But Bodie is right there to grab it and put it in the empty net. I mean, great play. And one other thing, Johnny Gaudreau gets a penalty last night. Goes to the box. It's a 2-1 game and partway through the third. He's coming out of the box. Instead of going to the bench, Hartley's got his line mates ready to hit him coming out of the penalty box. I'm thinking that's showing confidence in this kid, you know.
Sure.
You take a bit of a iffy penalty, you might let him come to the bench and have a chat with him. He puts Monahan on
early.
The ice.
He was going early. He established himself real early in that game. And
yeah, he was going.
He's a little snake bitten now, but...
He made five or six passes there to the slot area that were really
wonderful.
Quick. So Nick said last night he's Kane.
The plays behind the net and then dishing it
he
back
doesn't
out
have,
in front.
I don't think anybody's like Kane.
No, but he.
But he can dart in and out like a Kane.
And he's got the quick hands on the quick pass.
Speaking of Flames injuries, by the way, yesterday was a season debut for Sam Bennett, who was sent back last week by Brad Treliving for the Kingston Frontenacs. 3 points last night as they beat the Belleville Bulls. So the shoulder woes, it's a one game audit, but so far Sam Bennett looks good. You wonder if the Flames get in and the Frontenacs, right now they would face off against Barry in the opening round, they bow out. Doug, is it automatic that he would go to the American League, or could you see a scenario where Sam Bennett would jump into the NHL?
I see him maybe going to the American League or nothing. You got to be careful because he's missed so much time. The American League, to me, makes more sense. You know, you got to be careful as to how the injury really is and how well he's doing. I don't think to throw him in the NHL is smart.
I don't think it's one of those things where you think about it a whole lot. You let it evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does go to the American League and he has some success and you run into injury issues, he's no different of a call-up than anyone else. Is that not right?
Yeah. I just want to make sure that the shoulder is...
100%.
Before you send him to the American Hockey
considering
League.
The style of game that he plays, which is a robust go-to-the-net style.
It felt pretty good last night. But look, they're not letting him on the ice unless it's 100%. Yeah. But you just want to make sure, you know?
Look good. Last night playing with Spencer Watson and Lawson Crowe. So what Bob about McFarlane loading up that line?
Did you see To the Point last night?
I missed To the Point last night.
Well, it was really interesting.
Why?
Darren Pang and I went head-to-head. But one of the questions...
And what's your record now?
I don't know what
it is. Yeah, you do know what it is.
It's strong.
You do know what it is.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong.
It is pretty strong. It is. But that's okay. You know what? Mitch Kirzner helps me with good topics, and he votes a lot for me on his quick finger when he's on the computer. Actually, the opposite. Mitch Kirzner, for people that don't know, and most people wouldn't have a clue who the hell he is.
He's our executive producer.
Is that what his title is?
Yes.
Anyway.
You lost your train of thought.
The comment, the question was... Who would you rather have from today on, Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby?
Yep.
So I argued that I would want McDavid.
Yep.
And my good friend Darren Pang argued that he would like Sid Crosby. Now, Sid Crosby's the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the vote was like
for the record,
80-20.
Because Doug's the oldest, he always gets to pick first, and the other guy has to take the person that Doug doesn't take.
No.
Okay,
that's the way it works.
So Panger gets the leftovers.
No.
That's the way it works.
Okay.
It's the leftovers.
Panger took Sid. Yeah, and I don't blame him for taking Sid.
So you won then.
Took over 80%.
80% for Connor McDavid.
Yes.
Six points last night, by the way.
And he first. No, he picked Sid first.
And you picked Connor.
I would have taken either one of them. Argue. It doesn't matter.
Easy Pinocchio.
But isn't that bizarre?
Easy.
That's the perception of this guy out there.
Well, I mean...
Now, I put a hell of an argument together. No doubt about that.
There's the perception, then there's the reality. I mean, at the same time, the same level, and only that we can work on comparably is their time in junior.
I know.
And Connor McDavid, and I would argue in a much tougher OHL than Sid Crosby's 0405 QMJHL, including that team. I mean, Connor's playing against different competition and putting up bigger points. Not saying he's going to be a better player.
No.
So far, man, he makes you question it.
Well, I'll tell you what, just being on the bench with him that one game in St. Catharines for the prospects game.
Spectacular.
I was tired. And people
that
said he
prospects game.
Oh, 100%.
People said he didn't have a good game.
Well, the funny
thing. And I'm saying, oh my God, what am I watching here?
Did you hear him after the game with Rob Falls? He said, you know what? Because he's playing what's that?
No, I'm just saying that
he's played with Travis Konecny.
It's
and
a
Timo
lot of
Meyer.
Hockey. Even going
tons.
Into the prospects game, you saw a tired guy.
Yeah, he's playing with Timo Meyer and Travis Konecny of the Ottawa 67. He says, you know what? Those guys were going, so I just kind of felt like a passenger out there.
But the point I'm making.
That's a passenger.
The point I'm making here is that...
to the point or right now?
Right now, is the perception of this kid is through the roof. And this is against Sid Crosby, who is the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a statement, isn't it?
Nobody's now, voting for Sid at this point because of the wear and tear on Sid.
Yeah,
why you won.
The concussions and...
Right.
You didn't think my argument was good?
No, but the vote was over before you even opened up your mouth.
What about the week before when I beat you 3-0?
I did see that one.
Was it the questions
against all three of them? I said, let the old guy go first. Okay? It's just courteous.
Nine games on the go around the NHL this evening. We will see the debut of Zach Sell with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They face off against the Philadelphia Flyers, who have kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde of recent. We saw them face off against Nashville on Saturday. Rob Zepp outduels Pekka Rinne, and they win. We've seen them struggle in a game earlier on this week against the Carolina Hurricanes, losing 4-1. We've seen them push the Washington Capitals and give them all that they want. And the weird stat that people keep coming back to, as much as this is Voracek's team, this is still Claude Giroux's team, but at home, Claude Giroux has not scored a 5-on-5 goal in a year, which is remarkable.
Mac, is that bizarre?
It's bizarre.
Bizarre one. We got to hit pause on that
really
one. Mike
bizarre.
Fiuta is joining us, LA Kings VP
about,
of Hockey Operations
what about
and Director of Player Personnel.
Before we get to Mike, because his boss stood us up the other night, which I'm kind of pissed off
He's
about.
He's a busy guy.
That Lombardi, even if it's trade deadline time, don't stand us up because we'll rip you for it. But
we
anyway,
made him a star.
We got to go back to Philly eventually and talk Ronaldo over Le Cavalier as a scratch.
Okay, we'll hit that in a couple of seconds. In the meantime, Mike Fiuta joins us. Mike, how are you today, sir?
Good, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. A pleasure to
catch your breath.
To have you on board.
I was laughing so hard about it.
No, but seriously, who the hell does Lombardi think he is?
He's got a bit of a accident up at his place there in Napa.
Shoot.
He got a little poison oak, so I think he was.
Oh shoot! I apologize for giving him a shot. I apologize for giving him a shot. There's nothing worse than poison oak.
Open mouth, insert foot. There you go. The anatomy of the deal. How did this one come together? Mike, Andre Sequeira for the first, and Roland McEwen.
Well, I think this year we've had a little bit of adversity on the back end there, starting early with the situation with Slava, and I think we've run into some injuries on the back end, and this group again has found a way to fight their way and claw their way back into playoff contention. And Dean, if this 3 weeks ago, this probably wouldn't have happened. But the boys have put a good run together, and after kind of doing our due diligence on the player, Dean felt it was a good time to reward the group and kind of plug a hole and add some depth. And as we continue to hopefully get healthy here, he's a guy that we're very familiar with. He should be able to solidify our back end, and obviously that's been a huge strength in our playoff run. So we're hoping that Reg he's joining us this morning, can be a big part of things.
Any concern about him losing a bit of a step? Still a good puck mover, poor man's Voinov, but is there any concerns?
I think any time, this is kind of our first time dipping. We usually, even with Gabby, this is really, the first time we've looked at it. I guess there's a bit of insurance policy as regards to how things unfold with Slava. But, he's a guy that's always been a great skater. I was fortunate enough I had him in Owen Sound. And our guys, we spent a lot of time on tape and watching him live. And, I think when you're going from a 4-5 skater to a, whatever, 3-7-5 or 4, you're still good. But
for sure.
He's just, I think he's almost adapted his game more or less than lost a step. I mean, he used to be a little bit more carefree running up, and he plays a lot more poised, calm, more of a puck move as opposed to a rushing game. But we're comfortable where he's at, and we're comfortable with his health. And obviously, he's still a great skater, but, obviously he's going to, depending on who the coaches decide to play him with, will be interesting to see. He's partnered with.
you usually think that this time of year it's a foregone conclusion when you trade for a UFA or a guy going into his unrestricted free agency that he's a rental player, but that might not be the case with this guy here. Would there be a chance for you guys to sign him, or does it strictly depend on Voinov? If Voinov is fortunate enough to come back, could you still sign this guy?
That'll all play out for, right now. Depending on the success he has is probably going to dictate what he gets on the open market. And we'll have to address that where he's at. Jeff Salmon's done a great job here, getting Martinez and Muzzin and Voinov in at, great numbers. And, you got a Slava Voinov with two cups and these guys like Marty with two cups, and they're all in the $4 million range long term. So, we're adding a player that, sitting in Carolina was looking at a tremendous payday in the offseason, and now he's coming into a bit of a pressure cooker. He's going to be challenged to, he's only played in 8 playoff games, and there's going to be pressure on him, which he wants, and we're looking forward to evaluating it, is how he handles the pressure, and he's going to write his own ticket as far as what he's available on the market or whether he's comfortable here and whether we're comfortable paying it. But we've got to wait to see how things unfold with Slava away from the rink. That being said, he can never have enough good defensemen. If he fits a mold and fits what we're talking about here, then we will find a way to keep him here.
How does it, as a player personnel guy, and you're in the discussions with Dean and the guys on making this deal, you're looking at a pretty good draft to give away, to move a first-round pick. I know winning the Stanley Cups is what it's all about. I get that, but this team could lose in the first round or could go to the finals and win. It's a tough road, but does that eat away at you a touch, or the big picture more than makes up for it?
I think we've been very fortunate, Doug, and the way scouts are, and me being one of them. It's like someone stealing your last bite of steak when you lose a pick. Yeah. It's tough.
I've seen them fight over seventh rounders at the table. Good God. I used to have to acquire seventh round picks to shut them up.
Well, it's interesting, but I think our guys, Mark Yannetti and the group has done such a really good job. And the one thing I found is there's so much goes into it, and Dean has us going on so many different levels. As much as it's an imperfect science still, we're really comfortable with what we have in the cupboard. Yeah. And, Carolina, we was kind of steering themselves towards some players that are a little closer to playing than Roland is. And we kind of, I think Dean did a masterful job of keeping those guys off the table. We didn't want to part with Roland, but we think we've got players of similar stature coming up still in the junior ranks. And as far as the first round pick, you're obviously, it's protected as if we don't make the playoffs, we still have a lot of work to do just to make the playoffs. And with the parity, that's there. But I think we kind of thought that the players that we were protecting, as opposed to the first round pick within our own internal system, looking at what you'd get 20 to 30 in this year's draft, we felt it was better to keep the players that we have in our stable instead of including them in the trade and taking our chance and giving up the first.
It's shocking to me as I look around the league, the number of late round picks. It's just unbelievable that are playing. I'm just going to give you a couple of gems. Jeff Smallman and Bailey Webster. Don't forget those two names as late picks.
Is that a plug for your son?
Yes,
who represents those players?
Why does it always come back to you?
I'm just telling Mike. I'm giving Mike a tip. Hey, St. John Sea Dogs, keep an eye on them.
Mike, you guys are going for your ninth consecutive win. Ninth consecutive win. And as you said, far from feeling comfortable about a playoff spot, do you ever and Dean ever just walk into that dressing room and go, what are you guys putting us through year after year here? Like, you guys are flirting with a club record with consecutive wins, and yet, what a roller coaster every year to get into the playoffs.
The first year, right now, that's why they make good red wine.
it is a little mind-boggling that this team could be so good and yet struggle at times.
It's a group, Kipper, that I've done. I'm just done trying to figure out or question their makeup. Eventually, you might go, you go to the well too often. There's just too many good teams out there, and not a secret. When you got the belt, everybody wants it. We're not sneaking up on anybody. But this group is so resilient, and for whatever reason, the makeup, they police themselves internally. Daryl obviously does a good job bringing them in, and with, but this group internally has a way that they just police themselves. When their backs are against the wall, there's a different level of resiliency, and it's sometimes on your heart. You know, they wait till it's do or die, but I'm never going to question the resiliency of this group, and I think that's one of the main reasons that Dean felt for them to string these wins together. He wanted to reward them with a piece that might, you know, might allow them to do something special again. But we also understand that that's just, you know, right now our job is to, you know, sit back and hope this group can find a way to get a playoff spot. And then, you know, we've been tough playing in the playoffs, and you got to stay healthy and be lucky and all those things. But this group, I would bet against them.
Other than giving you the two tips on the two kids in St. John, who I love, I want to also say we look for profile pitchers here, and somebody just sent me in one. We have to get a profile picture to put up because they said you could model for Sears with your looks.
Oh, my.
Wow. Sears, they still, as long as it's not Target in Canada. I'm okay.
I was thinking JCPenney, but Sears is fine.
I don't know. That's a good I'd stick to the shadow. It's probably more effective.
Thanks, Mike.
On that, we'll wrap. Fresh off the runways of Paris and Milan, the very stylish Mike Fiuta, the VP of Hockey Operations.
Thanks, Mike.
Los Angeles Kings. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Mike Fiuta, the LA Kings.
Oh, shoot, I forgot. I was going to tell him that you're in the agent business.
No, I'm just promoting.
You're promoting.
I'm telling you, I love these two kids. I've watched them a lot. I like Webster and Smallman a lot. I'm being very serious.
That back end for St. John.
Do you get a kickback?
In 2 years?
Do you get a St. John
back? Do you get a kickback?
No,
if they sign a contract, do you get money back?
No, I just happen to really like them. But I'll tell you what, they've got a great back end in St. John. And Darryl Young has put together, and Ross Yates have put together a real nice looking team for the future.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if a couple of years from now they end up with the Memorial Cup. That's
would be great for my good friend Scott McCain if he could pull that off. Are you listening, Mr. Who's the big boss of the OHL? Mr. David Branch, you're listening. What about St. John from Mem Cup? Come on.
They could. I mean, listen, there was some speculation that they may have had it over Quebec City. Yeah. Which is the site this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if the World Cup ends up back.
Yeah, well, they got the great building, and it's a great city.
You excited about that?
Oh, dude.
Quebec City?
You know, the wonderful thing about
I'm
that is...
I'm putting a curfew on you.
Oh, good luck. Hey, you know I'm going with Todd Warner, former Quebec Nordique, so he knows all the haunts, so good luck getting a curfew there. It'll be the last hurrah for the Colisée.
Yes.
Which will be interesting as well.
It will be great in Quebec City.
The Pee Wee Tournament and Lafleur and Jean Béliveau. It was the house that Béliveau built and the Quebec Aces and... That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes,
quick thought on the LA Kings. There they are, back in a playoff spot. Well, things were looking, you know, pretty shaky not that long ago. All of a sudden, the LA Kings go on the run. We all said it was coming. Can we look at the LA Kings and say, much like Chicago, they've played so much hockey, they've played so many big games that they've – two things. One, fatigue. And two, they have a hard time getting up for a game that's not a big game at this point in this team's evolution. Is that fair?
Yeah, but you know who the one guy that's really shocked me about how he's become an amazing leader and picks his team up at times is Carter.
100%.
I'm blown away by him. I mean, this guy has really matured into heck of a leader and player, hasn't he?
And they still have the energy from the youth, right? And
with Doughty.
100%.
Doughty, even.
You saw how excited he was after the win of the outdoor game, and the guy just played 30-plus minutes.
Jake Muzzin,
right?
There's another one.
But when you got like a guy like Toffoli and hopefully Pearson is able to come back.
But even the Kings and the Nolans, and they've got a great – Muzzins. I mean, they've got a great group, eh?
Martinez. It's,
yeah.
I like mean, it's just Mike you go down the list and you're going, Mike said it. I mean, how can you ever – you know,
and
go against them, even if their backs are against the wall. How do you bet against them?
Look, Mike Fuda and Dean have done a good job, but you can't forget the job Dave Taylor did when he was with this team, and he brought in some good parts to this team. And you know, Grant Sonia was a scout for him at that time, a key guy. I mean, both groups have done a great job building that team.
Derek Forbort, Valentin Zikov. There's a lot of good young. You heard Mike talking about some of the players that were tried to, you know, the Carolina tried to pry away. You can be sure that Forbort was one of those names that LA did not want to part with. Instead, said, "Fine, take the first rounder in McEwen. We want to protect this guy
because
he'll
be a
good." They are a fun team to watch, especially.
And I mean, how do you not love Daryl Sutter? I mean,
how do you not love his press conferences? Does anyone give better headline?
No, he's great.
Than Daryl Sutter. We hit pause. Confirmation, yes. John Cooper will join us, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They face off against the Pat Kane-less Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow. We continue here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet simulcast on the NHL Network stateside. Kiprios, McLean, and Merrick in for Millard. This is Hockey Central. Back in a moment.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go. Welcome back. Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard. Around the table, Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Before we get to John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Bolts in action tomorrow against the Blackhawks. Time for cue the trumpets. It is the Hockey Central Three Stars. Doug, the big winner last night. We'll let you go first.
Yeah, look, I was really impressed with Johnny Gaudreau last night, the way he played. I know he's struggled lately, you know, at times, but look, he was that good.
That happens with rookies.
Yeah, he was that good last night. He made four or five great setups around the behind the net. He's so good below the goal line.
What happened to the college wall we keep hearing about?
Yeah.
These kids were supposed to hit.
Well, and he's, and you know, at 155 or 160, whatever
three
it is.
Three goals in the last 23 games, I think. So yeah. he's snake bitten. Mm-hmm. But last night
he's making plays to make up for it. That's, that's what I'm.
Kelly Rudy said it was his best game in a month.
Yeah.
So good on him. He still should be able to score 20 goals in his rookie year.
Yeah,
pretty heck of an accomplishment.
Not too shabby. Kip, what do you got?
I went with a teammate of his, Ramo, who won his 10th game, his 20th start. We assume that Hiller will be the guy that's going to be leaned on heavily down the stretch. But the way Ramo went into Madison Square Garden and had some hard luck, but made that incredible save on Miller. And then he goes in and gets 2 points, two huge points in Jersey. He's back where he was at the beginning of the year where they had that nice little 1-2 combo.
Yep.
And so, if Hiller doesn't get it done, Ramo's showing that he should be ready down the stretch here.
I hope you pick the other guy. The other guy that got a shutout.
I'm going to pick Andrew Hammonds, and I'm in for Darren, so I'm picking a goaltender. 25 saves, first shutout of his career.
Because
Ottawa has won three in a row. He's been in net for all three.
And you know Darren would have picked him for sure.
Either Hammond or Ramo.
He's doing for Ottawa.
He would have picked Hammond.
He is doing for Ottawa what Martin Gerber did for the Leafs. Right?
Yes.
And that is a heck of an accomplishment.
That's not good.
A heck of an accomplishment.
Well, okay, on the
get him.
He
out
is
of the net.
The Martin Gerber of the
funny.
Ottawa Senators right
yes.
now.
And what did Gerber win? Eight here or something?
Won eight or
just
nine?
To totally
and he took him from
pick.
Like the top three pick, I think, to 13th or 14th overall.
But does the play of Andrew Hammond and
get him out of the net? He's too damn good.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Put the pads on Chris Phillips for crying out loud. Get Hammond out of there.
Because now we're getting into Tank Nation. Discussion, and we don't like that.
Seriously, if I'm Brian Murray,
yeah,
stop it.
I'm telling Rick Walmsley with the job he's done with the goaltending to put the pads on.
Well, maybe it makes a decision for Brian Murray easier on what to do with the two goaltenders. If you're getting consistent performances out of Andrew Hammond, if all of a sudden, and it's a very
slow
small
down.
Audit.
Slow
it's
down.
A small
slow
audit.
Down.
How?
It's a small
please.
Audit.
Wow. Devin Dubnyk, is that
hey, don't
a bigger
give up. Don't,
audit, or
don't,
is that a small one, too?
Don't give up on big goaltenders.
Right?
Don't give up on big goalies.
But are you sure what you have still? Right?
You think you do.
You ready to sign him to a long-term deal if you're Minnesota?
Know. I don't know if I'm going long-term.
Or you just want to
like
wait
what,
a little longer?
I like what he's giving you so far.
Or do you wait for somebody else to scoop him up in July?
Yeah. We got to get to John Cooper. He is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They play Chicago tomorrow. He joins us now. John, how are you, sir?
Just had a little break here, so we've kind of been leading the league in games played, and to get actually a four-day break between games is a little refreshing.
So what do you do with the 4 days, then? What do you do with the boys?
Well, we're in Florida, so we haven't had kind of the weather tragedies that a lot of other people have, so the weather's pretty nice, so we actually do a lot of outdoor activities if you know what I mean.
It's called boating and and snorkeling and things like that.
No, we actually, one of the days we had we teamed up with USF and it's called the Bulls and Bolts Golf Tournament, and it's a big charity event. So we try and plan that tournament when we do have a little break in the schedule, and it's a great event, and it helps the community. And so that was one of the things we did in our off days.
And there's nothing wrong with just taking a lawn chair and sitting on the beach and cracking open a beer and watching the waves. I mean,
you've clearly been a head coach in this league.
Exactly, in
black socks and sandals.
Now I'm close to retirement.
Yeah. And he still does it every weekend in Florida.
Honestly, when the guys, they kind of joke and say rest is a weapon, in all truthfulness, it really is. And it's I always say, like, we put Colorado was our last game, and we played pretty well. We played well enough to win that game. But people say, well, you were in the altitude, and it was your fifth game on a 10-day trip, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You guys had to be tired. And I said, you know, the biggest thing about that wasn't our physical tired. It was mentally we were tired. And all our mistakes we made were just, we were, you know, your head. All the guys would just say, I'm drained. And, you know, it's greatest physical condition they are. That never really becomes a factor anymore. It's more or less what you have between the ears. And when you can get a chance to get away from the rink for a while and kind of recharge the batteries, that's the biggest thing for us.
Hey, John, this time of year as a coach, you look over your bench and you try to help your team win, but then you kind of look over your shoulder to a general manager and say, a little bit of help here wouldn't be too bad. Is that the case here? Would you like to see something added to your lineup?
Well, here's the one thing, and I think, you know, we talked about this when I first took the job, was we got to have a belief in each other, and when we leave the room together, we're both thinking the same thing. And I've got 100% confidence in Steve Yzerman. I have from the day I was hired in the minors. And we've been very open with each other on what we have to do moving forward. But I think the common thing for us is we're not going to blow the team up to make a one spring run. And I think we've got a bunch of young guys coming up. We've been together for a while. I think we're improving as an organization. I think this last trip we went on was a big gauge for us in the sense that last year when we went on it, it was a four-game trip. We swept through California and got swept. And we really weren't in any of the games. We got 1 out of 8 points. This year we go through the same track playing one extra game, and we got 6 points and felt we could have pointed in all the games. And for me, in 1 year, that's a lot of progress. And I think that for us to sit here and say, okay, are we going to cash in a bunch of our prospects or things to make one run? I just don't know if that's the right thing to do, because I think with us, our window is just opening. And I think the window is going to be open for a time being for us. So it's not one of those things where, you know, and I talked to Steve about it, is, you know, don't cash everything in. And he's the same way. It's like, he doesn't want to mortgage our future for a quick run. And we like our team. And so I know I'm giving you a really long-winded answer, but, you know, everybody's out there looking for defensemen, and we've had a lot of young guys in the lineup, but we're eventually going to get Matt Carl back here at some point. So that's going to almost be like we're grabbing a defenseman in the end. And hopefully down the line, if something comes about, Steve will, you know, he's going to do everything in his power to make our team better, but we won't mortgage our future to do it.
So, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, but just remember, and there's 30 coaches been hired in the last 18 months. So don't keep that window open too damn long.
I know it's,
so
believe me,
we're kidding.
The old, I know. And
John, okay. I'm a Steven Stamkos fan. I love the way this kid plays. I love his attitude. I love his act. There's everything about him. And I've known Andrew Shaw, who was a great friend of mine and worked for me, was his billet in Sarnia. And I mean, he's such an amazing guy. But can you please, for the love of God, tell me how Tyler Johnson is ahead of him in scoring? Like, seriously. I know you're a genius, but how have you made this guy score more points than Steven Stamkos?
Undrafted.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. Now, Stammer's got 32 goals. I think it's 32, and he's leading our team in goals.
32.
32.
One of the things about, I truly believe at this point of the year, if it was any other year, Stammer'd at 50 by right now. And it, only because, like, the chances he's getting or has been getting have been glorious. They're just some of these just aren't going in for him, or he's missing the net, or something's happening, where in past years pucks have gone in for him that he's been in those same situations. So he's doing the right things. He's getting himself in the right spots. He's getting grade A chances almost every single game. They're just not going in for him right now, or they're going in at a slower pace than normal. So we sit back and look and say, yeah, God, Stammer doesn't seem like he's scoring, you know, consistently every game. Then we look up and say, oh, wow, he's got 32 goals. Right. How many guys in the league have more than 32 goals? And so he's been everything for us we've wanted. I think he just sometimes gets frustrated because he's like, God, I normally score there. I say, Stammer, as long as you continue to get the chances, guys like you, you're going to keep scoring. Mm-hmm. And so I always worry about, you know, is he getting chances, which he is. And eventually the dam will break for him, and you'll see his point total go up. But on the other side of things, Johnson, Palat, and Kucherov have become, you know how it works when you've got those lines that have that complete synergy. And I think with Stammer, he's playing on a couple different line combinations, and things have settled in for him now. But that group has really found their stride. And part of the reason, too, is that group doesn't see the defenseman Stammer sees, so they don't see the, you know, top line defending center that Stammer sees. Yeah. And so these guys get a little bit more space. Now it's starting to change a little now, but it's really nice to know that you can throw out, you know, 2, 3, 4 lines deep and you're going to get goal scoring from all the lines. And that's what's been helping us in our, you know, offense this year, that we've been deep.
John Cooper joins us, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sticking with that line as well, as you know, Doug MacLean is a big fan of advanced stats, and he dropped this one on me before the show. He loves this stat because Rick Nash is number one in the NHL with 3.55. There's a stat called, I'm sure you know it, John, points per 60. So you average out how many points a player gets per 60 minutes of ice time played. Number 2, number 4, number 8 in the NHL, Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat, the line you're talking about. What specifically, if you can isolate one or two things, makes this line work, John?
Kippy, I told you he'd start talking stats.
Sorry.
Okay, a couple things. They're all fast, and they all play the game fast. So those are two different meanings. You can be a fast skater, and you can do all these things, but you take the end wall out, and some guys will just skate down. You know, they'll skate to Mexico if they could. But there's players that play the game fast. So as fast as they skate, they can play the game at that speed. That's what those guys do. The other thing is they all have really, really high hockey IQs. So they all know the game. They study it. They know where to be on the ice. They talk to each other as a line and read in certain situations what they're going to do, and they've got a really good synergy that way. And the third thing, and probably most important, is they all really, really compete. Like, they try as hard as they can every single shift. And it's amazing to watch Kucherov, who was shows you how bad a coach I am, that he was a healthy scratch down the stretch and a couple games in the playoffs. But
you don't mind looking bad there.
Play on a certain on the right side of the puck and the responsible side of the puck. And we tell our guys, when you learn that, everything else will open up for you. And that kid came back, and you know, this year, and he's always on the right side of the puck now. He doesn't cheat it, and he understands that when he comes back hard, he back pressures hard. He does all these things. You know, turnovers happen and they get to go the other way. And he's just been, I've been extremely impressed with the growth of that kid. And so anyway, that's probably the three biggest things of why that line works.
John, before I let you go, just a quick thought on the experience of going to the playoffs last year. And I know the loss of Bishop, but it just felt like it was such a disappointment losing to Montreal the way you guys did. Is that experience going to come in, you know, tenfold here down the stretch, and what you guys will face now in the playoffs?
I certainly hope so. And I know we spoke a little bit during the playoffs last year, and it was a new experience for a lot of us, obviously, to be in the NHL playoffs. But I think one of the biggest things for us as a staff was, I think sometimes last year we were a little worried about what other teams were doing than what we were worried about what we were doing.
Yeah, we got to end on that. John, sorry to cut you off.
Sorry, John. Good luck,
appreciate
pal.
It. Thanks, John. John Cooper, head coach, and perhaps the head coach of under-23 at the World Cup.
Can we go to break with Charles Barkley and what he thinks of analytics? Can we do that?
Or Doug MacLean. You can insert one for the other. Thanks for joining us.